This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And welcome to the People Speak Radio. This is your host, David Swanson. You can join us in the chat room at thepeoplespeakradio.net. You can call in with your questions for our guest for the next hour, Cindy Sheehan. You can reach us toll-free from anywhere in the world, 877-489-6350, or in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. We are very privileged to have with us for the next hour one of the most outstanding leaders of the peace movement in this country, or right now in any country, Cindy Sheehan. Cindy, thanks. Welcome to the program.
It's nice to talk to you, David.
It's great to have you here, and you are now also a candidate for the United States Congress, running in California's 8th District. Who's your opponent again?
Somebody named Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House.
It's a very interesting choice. When I first met you, Cindy, you were speaking out against this outrageous invasion and occupation of Iraq, which cost you the life of your son. Did you ever imagine 3 or 4 years ago that you might run for Congress? And how did you come to the decision to become a political candidate?
Well, actually, no, I never thought I would be running for Congress or any office. After August of 2005, there's been a lot of people trying to recruit me to run for everything from president to run against Dianne Feinstein for Senate here in California, run in all different kinds of congressional districts all over the country. And I just had always resisted that, not thinking that would be any direction that I would want to go in. But you know as well as I do that we were very disappointed in Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership in November of 2006 when she took impeachment off the table even before she was Speaker of the House. And with all of their, you know, funding bills, billions of dollars of funding, caving into the Bush administration, not holding them accountable for their crimes against our Constitution, high crimes and misdemeanors, and treason, that we were very disappointed. And then in July, I think it was the end of June or early July of last year, George Bush commuted Scooter Libby's sentence, and that's when I was retired from the peace movement. And we decided that we were going to do a cross-country tour from Crawford, Texas to Washington, D.C., and if Nancy Pelosi hadn't put impeachment back on the table by July 23rd when we sat in at Congressman Conyers' office, then I would run against her. And so we know she didn't put impeachment back on the table, and so I'm running against her.
You did manage to get me locked up for a few hours, but we didn't manage to get any movement out of Nancy Pelosi. You, Cindy, you mentioned August 2005 in passing. I imagine most of our listeners know exactly what you meant by that, but can you remind us what happened in August of 2005?
Well, August of 2005 is when I went to Crawford, Texas, asking, you know, wanting to ask George Bush, what noble cause did he kill Casey for, and what noble cause was he prolonging the occupation of Iraq, killing innocent Iraqis? And at that point, it was a little over 1,800 of our U.S. troops. And so he didn't meet with me, so I ended up staying there, you know, throughout August.
And
it was Camp Casey. It was in Crawford, Texas. George Bush never met with me. We, at that point, I think we had a unique opportunity to really affect policy because we had the will of the American people. We still have the will of the American people on our side, but I think we had a lot of crap at that point, and I think some of it has dissipated now.
It was certainly a unique moment when the peace movement really exploded into the corporate media and grew in new ways, thanks to what I think was the amazing way that you handled that exploding story there outside the so-called ranch in Crawford. We are, I expect, going to have quite a lot of questions for you, Cindy, from listeners over the next a little bit less than an hour. And we have got Don from Wisconsin on the line right now. Don, thanks for calling the People Speak Radio. Have you got a question for Cindy Sheehan? Don, are you with us? We do not seem to have Don from Wisconsin. When Don is ready, we'll bring him on. Cindy, you always write interesting columns, and you did so recently, as I think maybe every year, around Mother's Day. What is your view of the purpose of Mother's Day, and how do you handle Mother's Day as someone who, again, lost your son in this outrageous war?
Well, Mother's Day is just one of the very many difficult days. Every day is hard, but those special days, it seems a little harder. And this was the first Mother's Day since Casey was killed that I've spent with my other three children, because, you know, I've been sitting in front of the White House or, you know, out doing other things on Mother's Day, trying to call attention to all the mothers and on the planet that have been harmed and who are you know, in the same condition I am because of George Bush and his illegal war of terror on the world. But, you know, Mother's Day was originated as a day of peace, of women getting together. Julia Ward Howe called for actually a women's conference in 1870 for women to get together and to basically repudiate the way that men handle problems in the world by sending our sons off to kill other mothers' sons. And that's just something I think that needs to be ingrained in our consciousness here in America, not always giving our children to the military-industrial complex so they can be abused and misused, or, you know, sending them off to fight to kill other mothers' children. And I think that that is just a noble cause. You know, if Casey died for anything, I hope the noble cause is that we eventually start to solve problems without killing each other.
Well, I think there's a chance, and there's nothing much we can do but keep pushing for it. And you've been leading the way in this. I think we lost Don, who was on the line, but anyone who would like to join in this conversation and has a question you've been dying to ask Cindy Sheehan, you can call in to the People Speak Radio toll-free in the U.S. or Canada, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And in the rest of the world, we want to hear from you too, 877-489-6350. Cindy, it seems incredible, but they are talking about tomorrow voting for yet another over $100 billion massive war funding bill to fund another year and a half to take us well into the next Congress and the next presidential administration.
Right.
What should we be hopeless? Should we be outraged? Should we be phoning our Congress members? What do you make of this?
Well, I definitely think that we should be outraged. As you all know, we worked really hard to change the face of Congress. We really thought that, well, I didn't think it, but we were hoping that a new party would bring change. At least that's what they said. They said a new direction. They said bring our troops home from Iraq and work on peace and accountability. Well, we know nothing like that has happened since the Democrats have taken over both houses of Congress, and all they have done is rolled over to the Bush regime. They will put on phony, they'll try to put phony bills on to put a timeline on troop withdrawal or attach it to, as Nancy Pelosi says, guns for better, which I think is just, you know, amazingly insensitive to people like Barbara Lee of California, Lynn Woolsey of California, Maxine Waters who would vote no on any troop funding. They attach, you know, these social programs that, you know, they feel like they have to vote yes on the funding. And I just think it's, you know, just very, very corrupt. And I think it's just very despicable to fund this. You know, Nancy Pelosi cannot say she is against the war when she pays for it. She's Speaker of the House. She can tell George Bush, you have enough money. We're not giving you another penny to kill any more of our children or any more Iraqi children. You have enough money. Bring the troops home now. And George Bush promises to veto any bill they send him that has a timeline. So they're just wasting our time. They're wasting our money. They're wasting our children's lives. They're decimating two innocent countries. And if they give George Bush more money, he'll have plenty of money and the troops right there for an invasion of Iran. So I think that we've called our Congress people, we've petitioned them, we've sat in their offices, we've been arrested, we've marched, and we've done so much to try and influence Congress. What I think now is we have to elect people like me, and I'm not the only peace candidate running. I'm not the only candidate who is demanding accountability running, and I think that we have to challenge them. John Conyers told me that. He said the only thing that's going to move me is if I think my job's in danger. And so when he said that, I said, well, then I'm going to challenge the Speaker of the House and put her job in danger.
He was honest with you, I think, and that may be what it comes down to. Let's see what some of our listeners think of this. Steve from Santa Fe, welcome to the People Speak Radio. Have you got a question for Cindy Sheehan?
Thank you, David. Yes. First, I'd really like to say thank you again, Cindy. Last time that you were here talking to us, I pretty much said the same thing. Thank you for your patriotism. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing for what I believe that we all should at least believe in. And we're at the point now, as you pointed out, that everything we're doing with the Democrats and Republicans isn't working. Do you think that we really need to call for a massive strike or something? I'm a member of Vietnam Veterans for Peace, worked a lot with your organization. But I really think that we need to stop everything right now and say we're not going to do anything until something happens. So do you think we should do that? And I'll listen to you on the website. Thank you.
Well, I think a general strike or work stoppage or trying to shut down key thoroughfares or areas or ports would be very effective, because these people only care about their pocketbook and about lining their pocketbook. If there was some way we could do that, then I think that would be very effective. I know that two-thirds of this country are against George Bush and against the war. I think that the turnout, that actions have been very apathetic lately. And to get the people who are against it to actually, you know, get off of their butts and do something about it, I think we could be very effective. I think they're trying to organize a general strike for September 11th, if I'm not mistaken.
I've heard that as well, Cindy, and I think it would be wonderful if we could pull it off in a major way, and I think we should try, and it's an appropriate day on which to do it. I want to get back to this vote coming up tomorrow in Congress, because, you know, Nancy Pelosi, as you know, is not just going to vote the wrong way. In fact, she might vote the right way, but she is masterminding. She is organizing. She is maneuvering to assure that the president gets a bill with the money for the war. And I think what they've done this time, they haven't exactly put the, you know, the money for useful things in the same package with the war money. They've split it into these three votes on three amendments to a bill that already passed in this convoluted maneuver that I think the Republicans are actually jealous. They never thought of anything quite this devious. But
well, I think they were going to actually do it, but the Blue Dog Democrats and the Republicans balked at that. So they had to figure out, like you said, another maneuver to get it through.
Well, last week, the Republicans opposed the rule to bring up these three separate votes because they don't like the non-binding timeline nonsense. And the Blue Dogs joined them because they didn't want to waste $11 billion helping veterans when they were busy wasting $200 billion creating veterans. And so, and so it was bucked. Now, Nancy Pelosi appears to have bought off the Blue Dogs by proposing new taxes on millionaires to pay for the money for the veterans, whereas nobody's worried about the much greater money for the war. And so the rule tomorrow, and then they may go to the votes on the three separate things. And the progressives, there are a lot more progressives than Blue Dogs. There's no reason the progressives couldn't now step up and block the rule because they don't want to vote on the war money. And yet it's just people look at you like you're crazy if you even propose such an aggressive maneuver by progressives. Why is that? Why do we always have to play polite and our opponents politically get to play offense? I don't think it would be like that with you as a Congress member.
Well, I think, you know, Nancy Pelosi bypassing the committees to, you know, vet these bills is very Tom DeLay-ish. You know, she's learning how to play the political game very well, but the only thing is that they're playing political football with flesh and blood, with real people. I think that's despicable. I think that they're taking political pragmatism to very immoral heights when they don't have any of their children serving in Iraq. You know, their country isn't being devastated. Their bank accounts aren't being harmed. As a matter of fact, very many of them are being helped by the war in Iraq. We know that Congress has just about $200 billion invested. Individual Congress members have about $200 billion invested in the war machine. So I think that we have to not let them pull the wool over our eyes when Nancy Pelosi says that, you know, she's going to put this war funding bill on the floor for a vote, but she's going to vote against it. That's not, you know, that's not fooling us. She has the power of the purse strings, and like I said before, she could say, you're not getting another penny for this illegal and immoral war. More deaths, more days, more dollars. Nothing is going to make it right. And if the Democrats would step up and, you know, with integrity and with courage and be a true opposition to George Bush and the Republicans, then we could have some people that we can really get behind their causes, their candidacies, their congressional offices. But we can't. We know that the Democrats, most Democrats, most Republicans collude to keep us to keep the war machine well oiled. And that's why we have to stop them where it counts. We have to take their jobs away from them. And we just can't sit back. We can't think that just because we called Nancy Pelosi's office or we called our congressperson's office that we've made a sacrifice. That's not enough. We have to sacrifice more of our time, more of our resources, and more of our energy because it is just at the, you know, basic thing is people are dying. And Nancy Pelosi signing a check for over $100 billion to keep this war going is condemning people to death.
And that's hundreds of billions of dollars borrowed from China and Saudi Arabia that our grandchildren will have to pay back. Rather than allow that to continue, maybe people might consider finding $20 or $100 and going to CindyForCongress.org and putting it to a good cause. Just an idea. Cindy Sheehan, you have got our phones ringing off the hook. Let's go to
awesome.
Don from Tennessee by way of New Orleans, a Katrina refugee. Don from Tennessee, thanks for calling the People Speak Radio.
Hi, Cindy. I have a question and a comment. My question would be, what is it going to take in this country to get people to get away from the Republican and Democrat machine and actually start looking at people of independent means that don't spend $20 and $30 million to get there? And one other comment, when you go to Washington, I would ask you, as a young man born 55 years old, born and raised in New Orleans, please do something about the Army Corps of Engineers. Please hold them to a higher standard. Please make them pay for their mistakes. They admitted that they screwed up our levees. Our levees failed. And who do we give no-bid contracts to? Who do we let come back and rebuild our levees? The Army Corps of Engineers. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I'll listen to hear your comments. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I've spent a lot of time in New Orleans. I was there the first time just about 10 days after the hurricane. The hurricane happened the last week. We were in Crawford. George Bush was still on vacation. The first few days he was out golfing and playing guitar and celebrating John McCain's birthday with him, ignoring the people who were hanging off the roof. And many people that I spoke to in the Lower Ninth Ward, you know, first of all, the levees were not built to the standard to resist flooding. It wasn't the hurricane. It was the breaking of the levees. It was a man-made disaster that ruined New Orleans. And we definitely need to put more energy into our infrastructure here in America. Like you said, David, we're borrowing billions of dollars from China. We're losing our jobs here. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Bridges are crumbling. Levees are breaking. Our roads are in disrepair. Our schools are falling apart. And we're spending over $1 trillion for the Pentagon in the 2009 budget. What we need to do is bring our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. We need to put people to work here, reinforcing our infrastructure. We need to have our good union-paying jobs that have left since 1994 when Bill Clinton foisted NAFTA on us. And about the two-party system that I think is inherently damaging to democracy, we have two, even if we had two opposition parties, that's not enough parties. Well, especially when the parties we have now, except for a few exceptions, the people who belong to them are controlled and paid for by the same people. So I think when we're finally going to have a true democracy and more than two political parties, is first of all, we have to totally redo our voting system in America. We have to have some kind of ranked voting so people feel comfortable voting for the person, their first choice, instead of voting for the lesser of two evils. They want to vote for somebody like Ralph Nader, like Cynthia McKinney, somebody like that that truly reflects their values, not going in and voting for the Democrat or Republican just to keep the other one out of office. That's not a good enough reason to vote. And I think that Americans have to stand up to the two-party system. I'm running as an independent or a declined estate in California, and it's difficult to do this because you don't have party backing. You don't have an automatic infrastructure that you can use. But I think that it's something that, like you said, David, needs to be supported so we can actually have an alternative voice in our Congress, the people's voice, not the corporation's voice.
It would be a change. It gets through sometimes, but all too rarely. And it would be wonderful to have your voice here.
Well, it would be your voice, too. It would be our voice.
Exactly.
In Congress, not just my voice.
Let's bring in some more voices. Let's go to R.G. Swan from Kentucky. R.G., you're on the People Speak Radio with Cindy Sheehan.
Hi, Thank you. Thank you. You have a good show. And, Ms. Sheehan, I am Archie Swan in Louisville, Kentucky, and our primary is this coming Tuesday. So it's very opportune. I have a twofold question. I just listened to the speech by John Edwards endorsing Barack Obama, and I am a disabled vet here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm wondering what your plans are for any bills that we might get through the House concerning veterans, especially the disabled vets, and what your thoughts are about that, please.
Okay, my thoughts are that we, you know, first of all, I'm sorry for your disability and your difficulties. I think that our country, like David said earlier, we're too quick to create damaged vets, but very slow to help them. We know a recent study came out that said 18 to 21 vets per day commit suicide, and another 250 try but are not successful. So six or seven of them are Iraq and Afghanistan vets. So we definitely are not taking care of the people whom we send to, you know, whether a war is just or whether a war is not just, like Iraq and Afghanistan. I think that we need to use the funding that we're using for these wars, and we need to fully fund the Veterans Administration to help not only vets from past conflicts or our past veterans, if they are having physical, emotional, or psychological problems, and to help reintegrate our Iraq and Afghanistan vets into society to give them the tools they need to be healthy, productive members of society. And I think that if we stop these wars of aggression, and if we stop, especially Iraq and Afghanistan, where we're spending $16 billion a month, we can pay reparations to the people of Iraq, and we can help our veterans. And my son, you know, served in the military. Unfortunately, he didn't live to become a veteran, but I certainly would fight to make sure he was taken care of, and I'll fight to make sure that his comrades are taken care of.
Cindy, we're going to have to take a break pretty soon, but I want to get to a question that the caller touched on, and that's also come in by email from Mike in California, and that is, who, if anyone, are you supporting for president, and why? And I would add, could you just give me your take on Edwards and Obama and Clinton, as well as the independent candidates?
Well, I left the Democratic Party. What I do is to challenge a two-party system, and I would support somebody like Cynthia McKinney or Ralph Nader or somebody like that who fully matches my ideology and my beliefs and my hopes to bring peace to the world. I know Hillary Clinton is not that candidate. She has promised to obliterate Iran, if they even look cross-eyed at Israel. Barack Obama has promised to increase the military-industrial complex, and when he talks about removing troops from Iraq, he sounds just like George Bush when conditions on the ground can support that, and he wouldn't bring them home. He would just move them over to Pakistan or Kuwait or something else. So I am not. And, of course, I'm not in any way would endorse or support John McCain. But I think that we have to work for and support candidates who reflect our values and not waste our votes on candidates who don't. And people say, well, if you vote for Ralph Nader, if you vote for Cynthia McKinney, you're going to waste your vote. I think voting for somebody who is not a pro-peace candidate or pro-accountability candidate is a waste of vote, and this is why we need people like me in the Congress, because whoever is president in 2009, they have to know that they can't just they don't have carte blanche to do what the Bush regime did. And none of these candidates are really particularly loudly repudiating the imperial powers that George Bush has gathered to himself these past almost tragic 8 years.
Well said, Cindy. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about one of our favorite topics, impeachment, because I'm not sure if the next president will feel obliged to obey rules and laws if the current president has not been held accountable in that way. But we're going to have to take a break and come back with Cindy Sheehan, outstanding peace activist and now congressional candidate. And when we come back, you can join us in the chat room at thepeoplespeakradio.net or on the telephone in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free 888-228-4494. Everywhere else in the world, 877-489-6350. We will be back in a few.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit sosmorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
This land.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality, politics, and literature. Get involved and make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak every Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Network.
And we are back at thepeoplespeakradio.net. You can go to that website to join us in the chat room. You can call in with your questions for Cindy Sheehan, toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Cindy, before the break, we brought up the topic of impeachment. I'm sure that you, in fact, I know that you've seen the letter that Chairman John Conyers of the House Judiciary Committee has drafted to send, along with colleagues, to the president, suggesting that he will raise impeachment if the president first attacks Iran. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that will deter George Bush from attacking Iran. And secondly, if it does happen, then we know that tens of thousands of innocent people will die. And I don't know, you know how I feel. I feel that George Bush and Dick Cheney have committed many impeachable offenses. In fact, John Conyers even wrote a book about it called The Constitution in Crisis, where he outlined the impeachable offenses. He's already invaded two countries, already over 1 million people dead in Iraq. 4 million to 5 million have become refugees. Their country is in ruins. Tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of families in the U.S. when you count the ones who are coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder, who are coming back with traumatic brain injuries and other injuries, have been devastated. We know that he has made a mockery of our Constitution through the Patriot Act, through disobeying the FISA laws, to torture. You know, all of these things violate our Constitution and violate international law. And I think one more tragic mistake is going to he needs to be talking about impeachment now. It's despicable that he isn't. It's despicable that he would use Iran as, a warning to George Bush, who's not going to follow it. The people of Iran have not attacked the United States of America. They're no threat to us. They don't have nuclear weapons. They won't have nuclear weapons for years. As far as we know, and what the IAEA is saying, is that they are using their technology for peaceful purposes. I don't agree with nuclear technology, but if a country wants to use it for power, then they have every right to do so. So, of course, I think that John Conyers could have gone down in history as a hero, and I think that by him abrogating his responsibility as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, that he is going to go down in infamy. Because, like you said in the break, it's not only important to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney to hold them accountable for what they've already done, but to rein in next presidents. We've never had a president who's had to be held accountable for, acts of war and other crimes. Richard Nixon was close, but he resigned instead of being impeached. But after he resigned, he was pardoned and he lived a life of luxury. And so now we have George Bush. George Bush isn't the problem. George Bush is only a symptom of a much greater problem. And we in America have to hold our leaders accountable. And if our leadership won't do it, then we the people have to do it, and we have to keep on pressing. That's going to be one of my major issues when I'm in Congress, is of accountability. George Bush and Dick Cheney can still be impeached when they leave office, and they can be held accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity, and I think it's urgent. I think it's important for my surviving children. I think it's important for my unborn grandson and for your son and for the future, that our leadership knows that they cannot literally get away with murder.
It seems to me that the most significant thing that Nancy Pelosi has done, and perhaps that any member of Congress has ever done, has been to effectively remove impeachment from the Constitution at a time when we have a president and vice president who have abused power to such a greater extent than any of their predecessors. And it strikes me that maybe the least likely place in the country to support that action is San Francisco. How do Nancy Pelosi's constituents relate to her performance in Congress?
Well, they're becoming more and more disgusted all the time, and we're getting more and more support there in California's 8th District. In November of 2006, I think it was like 63% of the city voted in favor of an impeachment resolution. And we know that at least 85% of our city is against the war and want our troops to come home. So she has not only failed the nation and failed actually the world, she's failed her constituents. So I was just like, very, very confused about their position on impeachment. Even before they were elected, they were saying off the table, off the table, off the table. And the only thing that I could think of was, perhaps Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to start digging at George Bush's yard because she might find some skeletons of her own. And then we found out that she was briefed on torture in 2002. And she knew she was taken on a virtual tour of the torture prisons. She was shown somebody being waterboarded. And that is a crime not only against our own Constitution, but a crime against humanity. And that is why this two-party system, why I said it suppresses democracy, but it also suppresses peace and justice.
Well, I hope that you are right. Do you have any measurement of what percentage of the people in the 8th District are aware that you're running against Nancy Pelosi, know your name, know who you are, and know that there is a challenger?
We don't have any polls that have been done. We can't afford to do our own polls. And there hasn't been. Nancy Pelosi still has a primary. There's Shirley Galoob, who is running on a pro-impeachment platform as a Democrat against her on June 3rd. So our race actually really starts between June and November, but we're out collecting signatures in the community because as an independent, I need over 10,000 signatures to get on the ballot. And I would say a good 75% know who I am, know I'm running, and that probably 75% of those people are supportive and really excited about the candidacy. But that's just what I've observed. And when I'm out there, people, of course, are really excited because I'm there and they're meeting me and things like that. But I think that Nancy Pelosi has practically skated through her previous reelections. But even though she's had some wonderful people running against her, she hasn't had somebody like me running against her. And she... a lot of people in the district the voter turnout is very apathetic, and I think that the bigger the turnout we have in November, the better chance I have. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is coming at the end of June to help us do voter registration with young people to get young people excited. We know that there's minorities in San Francisco who are already excited about my candidacy. They haven't been, voters who traditionally come turn out to elections, but they're very excited. They say now they have a reason to go to the polls and vote. San Francisco, we're very lucky, since in previous elections, some ballot boxes were found floating in the bay. We're very lucky that we have real transparent elections. So, I think the more we get out and educate people on how Nancy Pelosi is not progressive, how Nancy Pelosi has not represented the true values of San Francisco, the better chance we'll have. And we're having, all kinds of volunteer meetings. We have labor for Cindy. We have young people for Cindy. We have students for Cindy. So we're really getting a lot of people energized and excited about the campaign.
It occurs to me that Nancy Pelosi is serving the country as the Speaker of the House, and there are people all over the country, not just in the 8th District of California in San Francisco, who would love to see Nancy Pelosi challenged and pushed on these issues. I guess anyone who wants to get involved can go to cindyforcongress.org and volunteer and give money, but people in the Bay Area can sign up and help to collect signatures on petitions and other tasks. Is that right?
Right. They can come into the office at 1260 Mission Street, sign up for our email alerts to find out when our volunteer meetings are and when we're going to be out in the community. We have another mobilization this Saturday to go out in the community and collect signatures. We just had a really great event Sunday night when we popped in on Ralph Nader and Matt Gonzalez, and we had signed up a lot of volunteers and a lot of people on the petitions, and people took petitions. So it's really getting out there. I'm going to be meeting with the Green Party in June, and that's just a formality. You know, the Green Party is not running anybody in 08, and they will endorse me, and We have a lot of other high-level and really important endorsements. But you're right. We have raised almost $150,000 so far, and that has all been grassroots, mostly from outside of San Francisco. Our average contribution now is $58. So people have a lot invested, because not only is it me running against Nancy Pelosi, it's the people running against the system, and many people understand that.
I'm sure they do, and I hope the word spreads rapidly. We've talked about peace, and we've talked about accountability, but there are a whole lot of other issues, and we've touched on how they're related and how you might shift resources from war to other things. But what are your top issues in your platform that that people seem to care about in the district?
Well, of course, it's ending the occupations and putting a dent in militarism. It's universal payer health care, the reversing the degradation of the environment, sustainable forms of, really promoting sustainable forms of energy, you know, affordable housing, better public transportation, getting our country off of fossil fuel. I don't even want to talk about foreign fossil fuel. Just get our dependency on fossil fuel reduced. And, you know, it's the same. It's a really not unique to taking our international advocacy down to California's 8th District. They're basically the same issues. Education has to be good and accessible to everybody, not just the establishment, not just the elite.
And we could afford that if we weren't putting our money where they're about to put another pile of it tomorrow. We've got a bunch of questions by email. John in Nebraska asks, why won't you support Obama? He seems our best hope for pulling out of Iraq and possibly changing Middle Eastern foreign policy.
Well, I don't... Hold on one second. I haven't seen any evidence that Obama is our best hope. I think that, like I said earlier, he wants to increase the military-industrial complex, and he's not talking about closing our permanent bases. He's not talking about getting our independent contractors out of Iraq, and he's talking about redeployment if the conditions on the ground warrant it. So I would just say that I don't support him because I don't think he is our best chance. And like I talked about before, I'm supporting a person who mostly associates or connects with my values.
Well,
I'm saying if anybody wants to support Obama or whomever they want to support, that's their decision. As long as they come at it from an informed viewpoint and not just an emotional viewpoint. And that I think that the president, the office of the president, is the office where we have the least influence on. I mean, can that be any more evident after almost 8 years of the Bush regime? So I think we have to work more locally to get candidates elected to Congress to be the people who force the executive branch to do their jobs and to do the will of the people, not the will of the corporations. Obama, if you look at Obama's major corporations, they're lobbyists and mortgage bankers. So, you know, his strings get pulled by the same people that pull Hillary's strings. And I just think that we have to be more informed, and I think we have to work for candidates who really reflect your values. And if Obama reflects your values, then I say more power to you. Work for Obama. Support Obama.
Yeah, we have, Cindy, we have a relatively good Democrat running against the incumbent Republican in my district in Virginia, and I had him on this program, and he had all the right views and visions and opinions and values, but when it came to what are you going to do about that, what do you propose for this, 9 times out of 10, his response was, well, I'm going to be practical. The new president will propose a plan, and I'll help support that, sort of accepting, as so many people have, that all the power and all the importance is in the White House now, and we should have nicer Congress members But their role is essentially to cheer for the president. I haven't hearing that in this interview. What do you make of the emphasis? Because you're running for Congress, and a lot of the questions that you're getting are about who's running for president.
Right. Well, that's it. You know, it's like the presidency has become a unitary executive when we have a tripartite form of government, where we have three branches that are supposed to be checks and balances on each other. And one of the problems that we've encountered since George Bush has been president is that hasn't happened. Well, for the first, 6 years of his presidency, he had a Congress that was his party, so of course they went along with him. But now, for the last 2 years, he has a Congress that is the opposite party, and they're still going along with him. And I think when the president deserves to be supported, then you support the president. But when the president is like George Bush and has committed these high crimes and misdemeanors, then you don't support him. You actually be the opposition to him and do your job, your constitutionally mandated job of holding that branch accountable. Congress has, we also in our Constitution, we have enumerated powers. And Congress's power is to declare war and raise the money to pay for the war. And then one of their powers is to impeach the president and vice president for treason and other high crimes and misdemeanors. And they have failed that miserably. And this Democrat who's running in your district, what if John McCain's the president? Is he going to go along with John McCain's 100-year occupation of Iraq, you know? No, we have enumerated powers, and we have to be more clear on that. And if you're not running for Congress like me, you have to put pressure on your congressperson and not just, like, you know, call their office or sign petitions or sit in on the office, but, you know, say if you don't do the will of the people, your job is performance-based. And if you don't perform the way our district wants you to, then we're going to fire you the next time. And that's where we the people can have an effect.
And that's a great message for tomorrow. We will remember in November who votes for more war and who doesn't. Cindy, we've only got a few minutes left, and I wanted to mention that you're coming to my town, Charlottesville, Virginia, to do a fundraiser event next Thursday, I guess it is, the 22nd, and everyone is excited and looking forward to it. And it's Thomas Jefferson's town, someone I've heard you speak about before. What do you think about Thomas Jefferson, and what do you think he would think of the way this country is going? Could we bring him out of the grave?
Could we talk about it in a few more minutes? Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson was, I think one of his major points or platforms was that to have an effective government, we need the separation of powers. We need checks and balances. But another thing was that we didn't have time to talk about is the media and how the media in this country has just become a propaganda tool for, you know, the power brokers, the power elite, and they're all joined together to oppress us and to keep us misinformed and ill-informed. Thomas Jefferson predicted what's going on now. He said we needed a revolution at least, what, every 20 years?
Yeah.
To keep it honest. Well, we haven't had one now for over 200 and, you know, however many years it's been. So I think it has to be a peaceful revolution. Of course, I don't know if it was Jefferson that said that liberty, the tree of liberty, has to be nourished with the blood of patriots. Well, we need to have a peaceful revolution in this country. We have to realize that we can't go against these violent people using the same tactics that they do, that we have to overthrow our government in the way that was given to us. And we don't have a perfect system, but it's not going to be perfect unless each and every one of us in this country remembers that we have a part in it. Not just electing Obama and thinking he's going to save us, or even electing me and thinking I'm going to save us. I hope that my constituents and the people of America hold me accountable to my promises and to my vision that is really our vision, and that's for a world of peace and prosperity for everybody.
Well, I certainly hope that they do and that you're in there and that we see you in Washington in January. Cindy Sheehan, who is a Gold Star mother, a peace activist, and now a candidate for Congress, and I have to believe that if your campaign really takes off soon, that message will hit Nancy Pelosi and hit members of Congress hard and begin to do some good before you even get here. So,
Well, we are convinced that that's going to happen.
I'm glad to hear it. People can go to cindyforcongress.org. Cindy Sheehan, thanks you so much for your time this evening.
Oh, thanks, David. We'll see you guys next week.
I will see you there.
Hopefully I'll be a grandma by then.
I hope so, and congratulations on the forthcoming grandchild. Cindy Sheehan is wonderful to have as a guest on the program, and she will be in Charlottesville, Virginia, Thursday evening, May 22nd. On the People Speak Radio next week, Tuesday, we will be interviewing Jason Lemieux, who is a board member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. He's testifying tomorrow in Congress in the Winter Soldier hearings. And next Wednesday, Mary Pallant, who is another candidate for Congress from California, from Southern California, running as a Democrat. This is your host, David Swanson, at the People Speak Radio. Good night.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website.